Dating methods. The ages of Adam and his offspring are given in Genesis and have been traced by Bishop Usher and others. They date the time of creation at about 4004 BC. Adding this to our 2023 AD gives us about 6027 years. Evolutionists have concluded the age of the Earth to be 4.5 billion years based on using radiometric dating methods as a clock. In fact, over the past three centuries, evolutionists have been doubling the age of the Earth every 15 years. The reason lies in the basic equation by which the theory of evolution operates: elements or materials, plus chance, plus lots and lots of time for chance to work its change, equals mankind. It is important to remember that the evolutionary process depends on long periods of time to be even remotely possible. This time span improves the chances that the elements needed to form life could come together in the right order. And, after coming together, that it should spring to life. Are the radiometric dating methods a good clock for this purpose? Let's look at the qualities needed for a good clock. It must give a measurable change in time or be correctable. External forces must not influence it. It must match the time spans expected. It must be calibrated to a standard. There are over 100 age indicators that show a young Earth. Only those methods based on radioactive isotopes, unstable atoms, give long ages, and so we'll look at these, and especially uranium-238. Atoms are made up of a nucleus of protons and neutrons surrounded, circled by electrons. The hydrogen atom has one neutron, one proton, and one electron. Helium has two of each of these. Oxygen has eight of each. These atoms are stable in that they have equal numbers of neutrons and protons. Uranium has 92 protons, 146 neutrons, 92 plus 146 is equal to 238, and 92 electrons. Because there are more neutrons than protons, it is unstable and called an isotope. Being unstable drives it to become stable. To become stable, this uranium isotope ejects, at intervals, alpha, similar to helium, and beta, electrons, particles called gamma rays and X-rays, respectively. As these particles are thrown off, the uranium becomes a different element at each stage until it ends as the much more stable isotope, called lead-206. This lead-206 is called a daughter element of uranium decay. In a given rock sample, the amounts of lead-206 and uranium-238 can be measured. By using these values with the estimated time it takes for this decay to happen, a starting date can be calculated. This sounds solid enough, but there are problems called assumptions. Let's compare these problems to our ideal clock. It must give a measurable change in time or be correctable. Can we assume that all the lead found is the result of decay from uranium? No. A byproduct of this decay process is the gas helium. Measurements indicate there is not enough helium in our atmosphere to account for all the lead present. Robert Gentry measured halos of uranium that has migrated in wood prior to fossilizing. He found that this wood, from the area of the Colorado Plateau, took less than 50 years to turn to stone. In this type of sample, any lead present would be the result of uranium decay, and when dated, these samples were only several thousand years old, not hundreds of millions. External forces must not influence it. Can we assume that the rate that these isotopes change is always constant? In 1972, some 14 isotopes had their rates changed in laboratory experiments. We do not know what causes the particles to be ejected. One theory suggests that we are immersed in a sea of subatomic mess and particles, and that these may cause the decay process. Is the density of this sea consistent? Measurements of radiogenic halos have shown changes in the decay rates over time. It must match the time spans expected. Uranium has an assumed half-life of 4.5 billion years. This means that after 4.5 billion years, half of the uranium has decayed to lead-206. After that many years, half again has become lead-206, and so on. Potassium and rubidium have half-lives of 1.3 billion and 47 billion respectively. These elements were chosen because geologists selected, Reed guessed, that the Earth is 4.5 billion years old. The isotope of carbon-14 has a half-life of 5,760 years. After about 50,000 years, it is almost gone and therefore is not suited to their purpose. It must be calibrated to a standard. What the physicists needed was some very old material of known age with which to set or calibrate their clock. This would act as their standard. Geologists tell us, without proof, that the Earth is 4.5 billion years old. The rock selected, Precambrian, is used to calibrate the equipment. Once set to that standard, every piece of rock checked against that standard will show itself very old. But every time this clock has been checked against volcanic rocks of known age, the results were millions of times too high. If we chose to set the clock using the assumption that the oldest rocks were only 6,000 years old, all the rocks checked show results in that order. In other words, by setting the equipment to give you the results you want, presto, that's what you get. And all under the name of science. It was the need for a long time span to support evolution that dictated their choice of 4.5 billion years in spite of evidences to the contrary? Absolutely. So then, what do you choose to believe, 4.5 billion or 6,000 years? It's really not science, it's a choice in what you want to believe. Your choice becomes the foundation, the premise on which your quest for knowledge is based. Wrong premise, wrong conclusions.